Holy Spirit's been talking to me about something he calls Holy Ghost Revolution. Okay, and what that is, the revelation of it is this, that we are inseparable. So when we talk to him, when we first start getting to know him as a person, there's the tendency to see him as separate. Okay, I'm talking to Holy Ghost now. This is my time with him. I'll ask him these questions. He's going to give me answers. You learn his voice. You learn how he speaks to you, whether it's in pictures or whether it's in scriptures or whether it's in visions or dreams or whether it's in just a presence. But he's wanting to take us further. And that further place is not seeing him as separate from us. Like one, total unity, breathing, walking, living, moving as one. So it's not like we are on, we're on the phone and we're calling, 1-800-PIZZA or 1-800-HOLY-GHOST and, trying to get an answer. Okay, hi. Oh, you answered, Holy Ghost. Oh, thank you. How are you today? And giving our question and answer session. It's not like that. We're not dialing his number, okay, because he's in us. And we are the phone, because we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are that phone all the time. The two-way communication is always open, because we're that vehicle of it. That's how much we are connected. And when we get that we are inseparable with God through Holy Spirit, that will revolutionize Christianity. And that's why those people that are actually seeking him out as a person and communing with him are finding that their relationship with God is completely turned around. It is not what they thought for 20 years or 10 years or 5 years or however long they've been Christians. It's a completely different experience with him. It's living. And he really wants to let us know that that's coming. That's happening already. It's already begun. And this is something that he's wanted done for hundreds and hundreds of years, if not thousands of years. The first century church was so in tune with Holy Spirit because you can read it in Acts. And you can even read it in some of the epistles. They sought him out for he made the decisions. He directed their paths. He gave them warnings. He was there all the time. He wasn't considered separate. And then whenever it happened, whether it was in the fourth century when it became an institutionalized religion or whether it was long before that, he became in the background, dismissed, even and then disparaged. He's at the place now, Holy Spirit is very disparaged in Christianity. He's usually mistrusted, often invisible, and certainly not considered God. He's that weird thing that, wafts around the room now and then, kind of an idea. But he's saying there's a Holy Ghost revolution coming. And when Christians actually get that they're inseparable from God, that revolution will overtake the church. And this is major stuff that's coming. And he just wants to pour it out. And anyone who's open will be poured into. It's not a pick and choose issue. It never has been. It's just willingness on our part. He's always willing. If you are willing, the leper said to the Lord, you can make me clean. I am willing. That's him forever. I am willing. And the exciting part about it is that we don't have to see ourselves as this person trying to get to know God. God is in us, and we're not trying to get to know him. We're basically just learning to let him out of us. To flow out of us, whether it's for people for healing or whether it's for our personal communion with him. There is no separation. There is no separation. There is no separation. There is no separation. That's his bottom line today. And he's been telling me about it recently. I was doing my Bible study with my husband this morning, and as I was asking Holy Spirit, because we'll ask Holy Spirit for a scripture or whatever. And I'm asking, and I'm not really concentrating very well, but I was asking. And he was just saying to me, I'm not separate from you. Like, why do you talk to me like that? It was almost like he was miffed, Why do you see us as separate? It gets to be that what it comes out of your mouth is his. And what you see with your eyes is his. And where you go is his plan, because your steps are ordered. It all fits in. But it's not a neat little package. It's a absolute free. It's freedom. It's this liberty of an adventure with God where you don't know exactly where you're going, but you always know it's good. And that's the part we have to get at, not trying to control it. See, we would rather see ourselves, not meaning to, it's just how we've been taught. We would rather, or it's not even a preference, it's more like just a pattern to see ourselves as separate from Him. Because that looks normal. But it's not normal. Not in God. Not in Christ. We just took His body and blood. For real. How could we be separate if we can do that? By the very fact that we're one with Him already. And we're pronouncing it and proclaiming it when we take communion with Him. And it's by the very essence of His Spirit that we're one with, that communion has meaning. It's not a symbol. It's true. He said, take, eat, this is my body. And I was reading it the other night with my son, and he was laughing at how they were offended. He's only 11. He was saying, why would they be offended by that? You know, what did they think? That he was going to, you know, be in a little package and go in a factory and make little packages of his body, make little, you know, cups of his blood? He meant spiritually, and he did mean spiritually, but how amazing is it spiritually that we now, because he died and released himself through Holy Spirit into the world, that we can actually take his body and blood. That's how deep this is. And that's how inseparable we are. It's like that is his big word today. Get that you're inseparable from me. It is we together as one. That's why people are now writing. They're starting to write. You know, like Lisa wrote that poem, or kind of like a poem. You know, it had a melody, really. And it was Holy Ghost. And it was very obvious it was Him. And then so we take up our pen. You know, we lift our pen or we put our little fingers on the keyboard. And He goes, la-la-la-la-la-la. And He writes. And we don't have to see ourselves, oh, I hope I can get in touch with Him today. Like, I wonder if He's going to be on the phone, you know, 1-800-HOLY-GHOST. No. It's just and it's not just a shift in our minds, although it is important because our minds can hold us back. But it's more than that. It's more than just the transforming of our minds. It's the unity in our hearts with Him. That's what happens. And you cannot make that happen. You can only let it happen. And that's what He wants to do. I can see Him today. He's like, I feel like He's in His celebration clothes. You know, He's got, you know, like the father of the prodigal son. You know, He's so excited. It's like Holy Ghost is excited too when we come home and realize He actually lives in us and is alive and is a person. He's thrilled. He's like dancing. Finally, they get me. Finally, they're going to be able to live in freedom as one. That's what Christ paid for. Not just to get them cleaned up because they were so soiled by sin. And He wants us to go to this next step. This revolution is like the picture that He gives me is like a tsunami. Okay, it is going to wipe out what was thought about Him. And when it wipes out what we thought about Holy Ghost, it'll wipe out what we thought about Jesus, and it'll wipe out what we thought about the Father. Because that is where you have your unity. When you commune with Holy Spirit, you are communing with the Father and Jesus. But if you're not, you're going to see them as distant, not as one with you. And this is what He wants to give us. This is His gift. This is His desire. And He is coming to do it. And people who, you know, like they've had, I saw this book the other day. And it was called The Grace Revolution. Okay, and I looked at it, and I laughed because it was written by a preacher or minister that wasn't really known for that. And I almost laughed, not laughing at him, but I just thought, wow, this is really caught on. And you know what Holy Ghost said to me? Yeah, there's another one coming. It's called Holy Ghost Revolution. And there's only a few in the body, and when I say a few, I mean, I don't know if that means hundreds or thousands or whatever. That's the number, that's the word He's giving me. A few in comparison to how many Christians there are in the world. There's a few in the body that actually are seeing it coming, you know, like signs of the times, watching it from the shore. Yep, I can see a little ripple over there. on the horizon. And when that ripple hits the shore, guys, it is unstoppable. We know how it is in the physical, a tsunami. You can't, it's not like you could put your hands down and stop it. So that's where we're going in basically, and I wouldn't even call it a phase. It's all been leading up to that. You know, I didn't know it till the other day. He just revealed it to me. I mean, I knew the outpouring. I knew the, you know, 2011, that prophecy he gave of like champagne pouring out, the, you know, the celebration of Holy Ghost. And that was the beginning of it. But it's going to be a revolution. Now, when things are a revolution, you know, if you look at the American Revolution or the French Revolution, things were never the same after that. That's what he's talking about. It's not like, oh, we're going to have this movement and then it's going to calm down. No, this is never, we will never go back. That's how good it will be. So that Christianity, those who are believers, can have a life with him for the rest of their lives, even here on earth. This is a no going back. That doesn't mean everyone will agree, because in the French and American Revolution, not everyone was for it, were they? There were some that liked the status quo. They wanted the king. They wanted the queen. It's like, no, we like the monarchy. There are some that will like the monarchy in Christianity and will want the rules and will want the law and will want tradition. Not everyone will come, but the revolution's coming anyway. So in this revolution that he's bringing it, you know, people say, okay, these moves of God or we have to move God, or, you know, there's all these different little jargons, words for revival. This is not a revival, guys. This is way beyond revival. This is revolution. When there's a revolution, you cannot go back, because you've revolted from what was. There is no going back. It's been destroyed. That's how serious it is, in a good way. Because what is going to be destroyed? The I can see it. Christians being captive, you know, in chains on their wrists, on their necks, like the slaves in the 1800s, like that, being carted away on little ships, you know, where they didn't have enough room for their bodies. Sickened all the time by the waves and the I was watching that movie Amazing Grace, an incredible story of Wilberforce, who fought against slavery, and they finally passed it through Parliament, you know, in England in the 1800s. And they were confined. And that's how it's been in Christianity. Their believers have been confined in these slave ships of man's doctrine, of wrong teaching, of fear of the law. And where did it all come from? Where does fear come from? Well, certainly not from God. So, you know, the enemy has had Christianity and people enslaved for centuries now. And guess what? Holy Ghost revolution is going to free them. Captivity is over. Remember, he leads them out of captivity. Even Jesus, you know, when he resurrected, all these people came out of the graves. I mean, oh, Auntie Frida, you look so good for being dead for 8 years, you know? I mean, that's how powerful the Spirit of the living God is. He's going to resurrect people who have been dead for years in Christianity, in the body, who didn't even know they were dead. You know, they've been the walking dead. He wants them raised up. So this isn't even, and this will, of course, affect the lost. Because if we're actually free and we're no longer entangled and captive by those, I mean, I could see it. It's like metal, you know, metal, those not like bracelets, but of chains on our wrists. If we are freed from that and that is unlocked, how are we going to be with the lost? Completely different. And they will see Christianity not as this goody two shoes moral club, and you're in and I'm out, and I'm a sinner and you're a goody. They will see it as the power and the love of the living God meeting them on earth. You know, the kingdom of heaven has come nigh. Not because we're running around praying for everybody, you know, on the streets. And if you're called to do that, go for it. But if you're not, then don't. He's making it really clear to me. Stop trying to be who you're not. That's part of this revolution. Don't be so-and-so like the pastor's wife. Don't be so-and-so like the guy who runs out and prays for everybody. Don't be so-and-so the one who analyzes and writes books on theology. Don't be somebody you're not, because I didn't make you to be that. Be who you are. Be who I made you to be. And if you don't know who that is, come and ask me, because I'm sure as heck will tell you. That's Holy Spirit. He's serious. And he wants it. And he's doing it. See, when you get a revolution, you cannot stop the tide of it. You cannot stop it. I remember there was this line in that movie, Amazing Grace, and one of the people who was trying to overturn slavery said, because the American Revolution happened before the French Revolution, they said, the Americans have popped the cork on liberty, and now the French are drinking it. And this man wanted to have revolution in the English government, which never occurred. But he was suggesting that as a way of overturning the slave trade. Okay, well, just like Jesus overturning the tables, yeah? Outside the temple with the money changers, how dare you? You've made my Father's house, that is a house of prayer, a den of thieves. This is Holy Ghost. He is going to overturn the tables in the church, and I mean it. And there is no stopping him. And those that want to stay, it's not even staying stuck in, oh, the old covenant and the new covenant. You know, it's not, guys, we even got to get rid of that. We got to stop putting him in a box, because when a tsunami comes, what happens? Everything is pushed out of the way. And with Holy Spirit, when he does that, you know, there are times when you look in the Bible, when in Acts, when Holy Spirit wasn't the nice guy, everybody goes, oh, he's such a gentleman. You know, they don't know him if they think he's such a gentleman. Because I'll tell you, he tells me off when I get out of line. You know, yes, he's tender. Yes, he's kind. Yes, he's gentle. Yes, he draws you. But he also kick you up the backside if you need it. That's the love of God. He says he chastens us. So there, when everything is laid, basically he's going to lay bare the lies. And people are going to have to actually look at what they've been learning and what they've been seeing. Instead of right now, they're going from one group to another. And this isn't just online. This would be, you know, in churches around the world. They're listening to one person's view and saying, you know, that's the truth. They're not necessarily even going to their own Bibles. They're certainly not communing with Holy Spirit to find out is that true or not. They just are taking it at face value. That's over as far as Holy Spirit's concerned, because it's been enough destruction on the body. Okay, people have been suffering for years with feeling guilty, condemned, sick, unwanted, and lost. And they're believers. Yeah, oh, hang on. That's okay, Annie. Oh, I didn't stop it. As usual, I didn't stop it. How unprofessional of me. Anyway, I thought I did. It's the kind of proportion, you know, a tsunami kind of way. You know, it's not a tidal wave. It's a tsunami of change. And we're not making it happen. And it's not because we cried out for, you know, every weekend for the last 5 years or anything like that. It's just going to, you know, God is God. And he's on the throne. You know, he hasn't been taken off the throne. And although we're co-workers with him, we are not. He made this really clear to me today. He said, just because you're inseparable doesn't mean you are the source. We are not the source. We are not God. We are inseparable from him. We are inseparable from the source of all life. Now that should be good enough, rather than wanting to be him or act like we don't need him anymore, or do our self, you know, reliant Christianity, or I don't need to say in Jesus' name because I'm one with him garbage. Not honoring him whatsoever. Because without him, there is nothing. You can do nothing. So this, the results of this will be multiplied. So it will be, like somebody has mentioned, that people will, you know, believers will be able to just touch someone, which happens sometimes now anyway, but not that frequently. But this will like be in general. Believers will be able to touch someone in a public place on their shoulder or whatever, and they get healed and they feel the presence of God. Now, that happens with those of us that go out anyway, but we're talking about on a mass scale. That will be a spillover, but this revolution is not about that. This revolution is about us, the body of Christ, knowing that we are not separate from God, that we are inseparable forever. That's the revolution. That's the bottom line of it. Because when that happens, and I'm talking about getting that, grasping it in our hearts, and then our minds will catch up. Grasping that. If we grasp it, we will never, ever, 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 ever be the same. You cannot be the same once you know that in the depth of yourself. So when this happens, and as it's already beginning, okay, we're seeing that, we're seeing it in small increments right now. You know, like I said, the ripple way out on the horizon, we're seeing that. There are pockets of Christendom that are waking up. Not to this fake, crazy, weird manifestation stuff that they call Holy Spirit. No, to him, to being inseparable with the living God who lives in you and living like that. That's what we're talking about. 24/7. Not just when I have my little special time. Not when I read my Bible. Not when I have a you know, spiritual thought. 24/7. Knowing we are inseparable. Okay? And we're not calling him on the phone. We are the phone. So two-way we are that two-way communication because we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So what that actually looks like once we're, you know, once this has happened is you do touch people and they get healed instantly, and I know there's people doing that already, and I've seen it already by my own hands, and I know some of you have seen it already. But we're not talking about that. This is personal. See, this revolution is personal. You know, Holy Spirit is up close and personal with us. That's why God sent him. He's the up close and personal teacher. He's the up close and personal comforter. He's the up close and personal counselor. He's the up close and personal Spirit of Truth right in us. So this is a personal revolution, but it will transform the entire church. Those that will not come, as I said, just like when they've had revolutions politically in countries, not everyone will join in. Not everyone will see this as positive. In fact, there will be a portion of the church, of the body, that will be completely against this and will malign it and will call it madness and rabble-rousing. And everything else that revolutions have ever been called. But what we've got to realize is this is a Holy Ghost revolution. We are not making this happen. We are not at the helm of this. We are partakers. And the stuff that gets destroyed, that has imprisoned Christians for so many years. I remember being one of those people. Coming to Christ, being radically saved. I mean, overnight radical. You know, day and night, people didn't recognize who I was. That kind of radically saved. Being so in joy, so thrilled that I couldn't believe there was a God like this because I've been seeking him all my life and everywhere that I shouldn't have. Finally finding that he was in Christianity, which was a shock to the system, believe you me. And becoming alive. And then being told over a period of years, and it didn't take long, to corrupt me. Or to corrupt my understanding, not corrupt me, because we're incorruptible. We're from the incorruptible seed. But my understanding, you know, to put the veil in someone's eyes, they can't see. You know, that's why it says in, I was reading this week, 2 Corinthians 3, all about the veil of Moses. That most Christians are still reading the Bible with the veil of Moses over their eyes. And that's the New Testament they're reading. They're still reading it through the eyes of the law. And all it says, you know, all you have to do? All you have to do to have that to stop is it says, nevertheless, if you turn to God, the veil Won't be lifted. It doesn't say that. This is really, it's even better. Will be taken away. If it's taken away, you can't have it again. If it's lifted, you can bring it back down, can't you? But if we turn to God, and that's not just at the moment of salvation, that's every day. We turn to God, then that veil is taken away. And if we have a misunderstanding about something in the Bible, or someone's hammering us about, you know, what grace really is or what it isn't or how we're supposed to live, we turn. It says, nevertheless, if you turn to God. So you turn to Him. Holy Spirit, what's the deal here? I don't get it. Help me. This looks like this. But you told me that, you know, His grace was sufficient. So what am I supposed to believe? And He will tell you. You turn to Him. So as Jean said, the scripture that says He came unto His own and His own received Him not. Now, in that scripture, they're talking about Jesus, obviously, coming to the Jews. But who's in us now? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes to His own because we now belong to God. Holy Spirit comes to the believer, comes to His own, and His own received Him not. And that there will be, in this revolution, there will be many that say, no. No, this isn't God. Just as they said about Jesus, no, you can't be God. You're a son of a carpenter. Even my son said it the other day. We were reading John. He woke up all of a sudden from sleep, and we had an emergency call out from my husband, and we were reading. He said, I want to read the Bible. And I'm like, okay. So we started reading the book of John. I don't know. We read the red stuff. He said, I want to read the red stuff. And we were reading it, and one of the things that... as I was reading it, he said, they didn't believe he could be God because He came from a woman's womb. You know, it didn't fit their picture. People have the same problem with Holy Spirit. The sad part is this, is that Holy Spirit lives in us and they can't believe that He would deign to live in them. They're the ones that think they're not good enough, not Him. They think they're not worthy. It's not Holy Spirit that's on trial. It's their own value, because they never got what Jesus did. Once you get what Jesus did on the cross, you cannot turn back. Once you get that you died with Him, you were buried, you were resurrected. So you were absolutely crucified with Him and then brought back to life. And when you get that, you know Holy Spirit's real in you, and it's not just a figment of your imagination. Is this me? Is this Him? You're not doing that anymore. Well, then it makes sense that He's in you, inseparable, communing with you 24/7, and it isn't weird or wacky or out there or something that you conjure up. And that's what this revolution is. It's going to break so many people free, and other people are going to be enraged. That's the truth. And we'll have to be prepared for that. You know, we are told we will be persecuted. That will happen by unbelievers and believers. That will happen. But thank God for the comforter, huh? Because when that happens, it's so uncomfortable. And usually you go cry. I go cry under the mulberry tree, you know, and talk to Him about it. And then ask Him, how do I deal with it? And he walks me through, you know, with that kindness in His heart. So it really is. I think He really wants to emphasize this. People think that it's, you know, we're questioning Holy Spirit. Who's God? Who isn't God? All of that, you know, oh, that couldn't have been God, or how do you know that was God talking to you, or well, you talk to God, you know, and believers will say, what do you mean you talk to God? I'm thinking, you don't? How do you think you're a believer? You know, how can you not talk to Him? How can you not commune with Him? But the problem is, they don't actually think they're good enough. You know why? Because they're still basing it on the law. They still have to earn His presence living in them. No, you don't. Jesus Christ did that. The entire problem with the law is that they are not confessing Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Once you confess that, and when you confess that, that doesn't mean, oh yes, He was born of a virgin, da-da-da, Holy Spirit came upon her, blah, blah. No! Once you know that Jesus, what Jesus did on that cross was enough for you, and you live your life like that, you are confessing. Your very life confesses Jesus Christ died and came in the flesh and was raised again. Your life is an expression of that confession. And you're not afraid that afraid of God and that he's going to be mad at you, or afraid, have I missed the mark, I sinned today, or afraid, did I do something wrong, is he displeased, how come he's so far away? None of that even exists anymore. That is garbage. That isn't even reality for a Christian. It should never be reality. But what happens is we come to Christ, we get saved, we get so excited about who he is, and then we get basically stripped of the joy of the Lord and told, no, now you have to, you know, you were saved by grace, now you have to live by law. And there's no joy, there's no power, there's no love, there's nothing. And you're a prisoner, and you're having other people tell you what to do and how to do it, and tell you, you know, if any of us remain in those kinds of situations, who he called us to be will never blossom. And I'm not talking about leave your church. I'm talking about live in him. So basically, you know, we don't make this revolution. This is not our revolting against the church. This is not saying, how dare you, your doctrines are evil. And it's none of that. This is all Holy Spirit led. And no one's stopping it. And people who want to revolutionize the church and try to take it into their own hands to do it are being fooled by the enemy. Because that's not how it happens. It doesn't happen by one man or one movement. It happens by the power of God. He is all power. I think he can handle a revolution in the church. He will do it. Not me, not someone else who's gotten awakened, not someone else who has, you know, awareness. Him. Him. We will be partakers, and we will be participants, and we will be benefactors of it. But we are not the cause or source of it. And he wants this freedom for us because, you know, that scripture in James 1 about the perfect law of liberty and the man who looks in the mirror and he sees himself and then he turns away and he forgets who he is. That's what we're talking about. Guys, that law, I know I mentioned on another teaching, but I'm just going to do it here anyway. I looked that up, what liberty meant. And what it meant is in like the Greek times when they had slaves, or Greek and Roman times when they had slaves. If you were going to be released, you had to have a man sell you to a god. Now, in those times, it was the Greek gods, yeah? So they had to sell you to a god in the temple. And once you were sold by that man to that god, you belonged to that god, and you got a certificate of emancipation. You were called free. You never could be sold as a slave again. That's what God's talking about. That is his perfect law of liberty. We're never to be enslaved again, ever. We are under and in and upon within the perfect law of liberty. Never to be enslaved again. We were sold. We were sold through the blood of Jesus Christ to God Almighty. There is no better God. There is no other one to be sold to. There is no God of doctrine. There is no God of man's tradition. There is no God of tithing. There is no God of reaping and sowing. There's God Almighty. That's who we've been sold to. We can never be slaves again. Now, we can put ourselves in bondage, or a man can try to put us in bondage. That can happen and has happened. And, you know, 3/4 of the church probably is in bondage. Just a rough estimate. I'm just top of my head estimate. There is bondage everywhere you look because they either feel guilty. I had a woman yesterday I went up to. Now, she's not even a Christian. This is how bad it gets. And she was a neighbor and they were building their house or whatever. And I saw her and I prayed for her before and her back had really improved. She'd had a major accident many years ago. And I asked her how it was. She said, oh, no, you know, it's not doing very well. No, my back's still, I must have a lot of evil in me. She was making a joke. I said, no, he took all that. So you don't have to. I prayed for her later. We looked over her house and it was more about her finding out about God than anything. But I prayed again for her back and for her pain. And I was shocked. I thought, that's how most Christians think. There's a reason I'm not getting healed because I've done something wrong and God's mad at me. He's teaching me a lesson because obviously he couldn't teach it to me through love. So he's got to beat me up. That's the way the church looks at it. That's part of that bondage. And what did he say? We are no longer under bondage. We are not slaves, but heirs of God. So if we're heirs of God, which makes us sons, why are we walking around in bondage? And because people want to control each other. And didn't he say that? Didn't Jesus say that to the disciples? Don't be like the Gentiles lording over one another. And yet much of the church lords over one another. They enslave the body. And then they see the body doing nothing and going, what's wrong with you? Get out of your seat and help other people. You're like, I'm beaten up. I'm crippled here. And then we're not talking even physically. They're crippled in their spirits. They're crippled in their souls, in their minds, their will, their emotions. They don't know right from left, up from down. What, I'm going to go help my neighbor? Because they've been told they're worthless. And those that are in charge are the ones that know everything. How can that possibly be that the ones in charge, even in a church setting, know everything if the Spirit of truth, who will lead you into all truth and teach you concerning all things, lives in you? And it even says in the Bible, now talk about revolution. You know, we might as well get mad at John for writing this one. Because he said, you will no longer need that anyone should teach you. Now there's a revolutionary thought. And all scripture is good for correction and for discipline and for learning. Well, there's one we could take. So in 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Now, when we're taught by Holy Spirit, we abide in him. We don't abide in somebody else's doctrine, somebody else's teaching, somebody else's need to control us. There should be no desire to control another person. Why in the world would you want to control everybody or anybody for that matter if you have the Spirit of the living God living in you? Sorry. And even in John 1 John 2:20 it says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. So inside of us is the one who knows all things, the Spirit of truth. And if we reject him or dismiss him or ignore him because our preference is pleasing man or having man pleased with us, we do it at our peril. Because the life that he put in us, he wants to blossom out. He wants it to grow. He wants it to pour forth a fountain of life. That's how you're going to be able to go on a train and just touch somebody. And they don't just get healed, but they feel the presence of the living God and they come to him. Now that's repentance. Turning to God, realizing not only who did this for you, not because somebody is such a good wheeler dealer and can speak a good line to you and convince you that, you know, God is really good and Jesus did this for you and I'm going to show you here, give me your leg and let's let it grow out. See, isn't God good? Woohoo! No, not from there. Holy Ghost revolution. Presence of the living God. Pouring in them. Revealing all things in their heart to them. So they can know that the one who did this has accepted them. Most of the church doesn't know they're accepted. That's the tragedy. They don't even know they're loved. And then they're called to run around and love their neighbor. But they're unloved. They're the unloved. And they're told, now go love your neighbor. And if you're really a good Christian, you better do it. And if you don't, well, then you're going to be some more unloved because, you know, let's just pile that on. And the cycle just continues. Because they've never been told that actually they were worthy of this. Guys, we weren't just worthy in God's eyes of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us. We were worthy of God living in us. Now, how much value must we have to him? But if we ignore God living in us and say, no, that I can't really listen to that. That's not really the voice of God. Or maybe, you know, maybe it's a seducing spirit or whatever. If we don't listen to that, we will never know our value. Ever. This is exciting. What he's doing is exciting. This isn't, oh, he wants to cause destruction or a bunch of rabble-rousing Christians want to destroy the traditions of the church or traditions of men. I mean, I'm letting God do that. He can destroy the traditions of men. That's what Jesus did. That's not my business. My business is to partake of the glory of the Lord and spread it everywhere I can. That's what my business is. That's the Father's business. I'm about the Father's business. The Father's about, you know, what his job is. I'm not the Holy Ghost. He lives in me and flows out of me, but I'm not him. He'll do what he does. So we're not, you know, we don't have to, where we come in terms of sharing with people, is that we spread that truth wherever we go. We are that, you know, the salt and light. And we bring that truth where we go. But we don't, we're not toppling the tables. I'm not the one throwing, you know, with the tables and the whip. I'm not doing that. And I'm not talking about if, you know, if he calls somebody to do that and they know it's from him, go for it. I'm not saying you don't do that. But we're not the ones who are driving this revolution. That's what I'm trying to get at. And leaders will think we are. People in leadership will think they are because it is going to topple what they had. But we're not doing it. Holy Spirit is. So they're going to have to take it up with him. And some will actually come to him. Do you know, some of the leaders, just like, you know, we see people like bikies or whatever, or people that we would consider, you know, massive sinners, you know, as if we're not, you know, or as if we weren't. But we'll see them come, and it's just such a transformation. You know, everyone's in awe. It's going to happen like that with leadership. Some leaders are in such bondage. That's why they try to put others in bondage. Those that want to control feel controlled. Okay, they're controlled by the enemy, but they don't even know it. So they try to control others and keep them in line. But what's going to happen, some of them will actually swim in that tsunami. Some of them actually will find that when he comes, although they might fight him initially, they're going to break free of their chains. Because he's going to set captivity free. That's his job. The spirit of liberty. You know what it says? The Lord is the spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. This is what he's talking about. This is liberation. This is the era of liberation for Christians. Because they've been in bondage for centuries upon centuries. This is his era. Liberation day has come. And it will be sweet for those who want to partake. And it will be bitter for those who reject it. So we want to make sure, as we are seeing this coming, that we're the ones who are not only finding it sweet because we partake, but that we can share and impart that sweetness to others so they're not afraid. Because there are some that will fight and fight and fight and fight. I watched this movie the other night on a man who comes to town. He's supposed to be like Christ coming back. It's called the Joshua series, written by this Catholic priest. And it's an excellent series. Anyway, and in this town where he comes, you know, all these people's lives get transformed. It's not because he lays hands on them and they get healed. It's because of their hearts, okay? Though a couple of people do get healings as well. And one is resurrected. But there's a priest in the town that absolutely hates him for what he's doing and says that he's a cult and says he's trying to lead the sheep astray and all of this. And that we will be accused of that? Those people who are going to allow Holy Ghost to freely flow in whatever way he wants and to bring forth that reality in their own lives and that live inseparable from him will be called cults? We'll be called all manner of names. Didn't he say that they'd kick us out of the synagogues? Well, there you go. Modern day, huh? It's not going to be comfortable. Okay? But it's not a bad thing because it's uncomfortable. Because we have the comforter. But it's not even that. It's not like, let's be so namby-pamby. Oh, I've got the comfort. So it's okay. No. No. Ultimately, it is such a massive revolution that although, you know, it gets messy. Revolutions are messy, aren't they? It's not like, oh, a revolution and like, you know, somebody knocks on the door and gives you a bunch of flowers and, okay, that's the revolution. It's not going to look like that. It's going to be messy. People are going to, you know, some churches are going to split from you know, which they do all the time anyway, because, you know, they don't like napkins on the you know, whatever, on somebody's head. You know, they split all the time. But this is going to be a bigger one than that. It's going to be those who want to know The living God lives in them, and to not need anyone to teach them, but to go to Him. That doesn't mean they don't go, you know, there's pastors and teachers and apostles and all of that, and prophets and everything. But you never take their word for it other than His. Because He said He would put His law, write His laws on our hearts. And we're living epistles, written not in ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. So why would we go to a man who might have a lot of problems in his own mind spiritually and ask him for advice when we have the Holy Spirit living in us, from whom we are inseparable with God? That's what this is about. That's the revolution. It is not violent, although it is violent spiritually, because you have to break, not you, us, He has to break people free. And the Spirit is liberty. And He's been shut out of the church for so long and masqueraded as something else that isn't even Him. And silenced. They treat Him like an enemy, the Holy Spirit. He's usually considered very suspiciously. And if you went into most Christian circles and talked this openly about Holy Spirit, they would want to lock you up, because it makes no sense to them. But see, this is why He's going to do the revolution. I don't have to. I can't. I'm not the revolution. He's going to flow the revolution through me and through anyone else who wants to partake of that and be a part of it. But we don't make it happen. We have to really get that, because you can become very defensive when people are attacking you for speaking truth. I mean, look at what Jesus did. What did He do? Okay, sometimes he spoke back to them. Often He spoke back to them and gave them questions they couldn't answer, so they were flummoxed. Okay, He did use, you know, wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove. But also, you know, sometimes He called them horrific names. And, you know, I'm not going to go out of my way to do that unless Holy Spirit tells me to speak out. And you know what happens with Holy Spirit? I remember being a brand new Christian, probably 6 weeks, baby. Yeah? And I'm in a church, and I usually sit in the, the third pew back. It was this really pretty charismatic Anglican church. I didn't even know what that meant. Okay, go figure. I knew nothing about anything in terms of Christianity. And all of a sudden, I pick to choose. I go up with Aiden as a baby. I go, you know, pick to choose the front row. I don't even know why. And I even thought to myself, I wonder why I'm up here. Okay, whatever. I'm singing away, hands up, you know, happy, 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 joy, joy, joy. Truly so excited about Him, you know, almost crying as I'm praising. And then there's a different minister at the front. They call them priests in the Anglican. And he suddenly says, "Does anyone have a word from the Lord?" Now, before he said that, I kept hearing, "Exalt me, says the Lord, exalt me, says the Lord." And I was thinking, as this man, this other minister says this, I was thinking, I wonder if I'm supposed to, and the Holy Ghost took over my mouth and it just poured out, "Exalt me, says the Lord." I had no time to figure out whether it was okay or not. In the middle of my question, He took over my mouth. I got chided and condemned for it. But it was the word of the Lord. He wanted that out there. The entire service was about exalting Him. But one of the people who had been an intercessor, long-term intercessor, and was one of the, you know, in the eldership, basically disparaged me publicly. Some people think they're speaking for God, but they don't know Him well enough, and whatever else they said. And I felt so small. And I went to one of the other people that I'd known who'd been a Christian for 25 years, and who I knew was quite switched on. I mean, I didn't understand everything, but I knew she was switched on. And I said, "Was I out of line?" She said, "No, the entire service was about exalting the Lord." So He will use us in that way. You know, He will, when we yield to Him, not using, you know, the way we talk about God, He's going to use you. It makes it sound like, you know, you're this machine or this thing, you know, or a rag, you know, He's going to use you to clean the table. It's not like that. We're in a love affair here. If you yield to Him, He goes, "Great, I can use your mouth." If we yield to Him, He says, "Great, I can use your visions." If we yield to Him, He goes, "Great, I can use your artistic ability." If we yield to Him, He says, "Great, I can use your writing." If we yield to Him, He says, "Great, I can use your children to know me so they can share that with others." We're not were his works of art. You know, you don't use a work of art, do you? You paint it and make it beautiful. So if we're going to, that word using gets so overused, I wouldn't even call it using. He is going to, oh, and it's not even just flowing through us. When we yield to him, the inseparable quality, the inseparable condition that we have between him and us comes to life. It's not using, it's life. That's what he wants to do with us. That's what we want other people to have. So when this revolution happens, it's not about them losing their position and their authority and their power and all. I mean, none of that matters anyway to him. And that's not what he died for. It's about them coming to know they are inseparable with him. Even those in leadership, even those that want to control, even those that are deceived. But there is a yielding. That's what that part is our part. We have to yield. Not everyone's going to yield, just like not everyone's going to come to Christ. We can't make that happen either. Just like we didn't make him go on the cross. He did it. We're not going to make this revolution either. He does it. He's already started it. And it will take, I'd say, probably a period of 4 or 5 years where it will become more on the lips of people as a normal thing, but we don't want it to become cliche or cute. You know, suddenly everybody talks about glory, or suddenly everybody talks about authority, or suddenly everybody talks about grace, and it's all, you know, everybody says it and then it becomes, it's a has-been. This is never go back revolution, because that's what revolutions do. You can never go back and be a slave again. You were bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, sold to God, and no one can own you again. You can agree that they own you, but you're living in a delusion. And when we agree to let others own us, we do not experience that we are inseparable with God. He just keeps getting that word. It's like I could write it in the sky if I was one of those little pilot sky writers. Inseparable, inseparable, inseparable. You are inseparable. That's what he wants to say. I mean it. That's what I did. And he wants the entire church. He wants all his children to know it. Even the ones that are acting foolish. Even the ones that are lording over others. He wants them all to know. Because once they know, they will stop the nonsense. And because he misses them while they're acting like they're separate. We have to figure out God. Okay, what does the scripture really mean? Well, in the Greek it means this, so I wonder if that means that. And I'm not talking about sometimes we don't need to look those words up. We do. But not to the point where we want to dissect God. We want wholeness, not fragmentation. And that's what he wants for us. So this revolution is coming, and it's coming big, and it's coming strong, and I am so happy. I mean, he makes me so happy. Because you know what? When you've been called to teach about Holy Spirit, it's not a comfortable place, but it's a wonderful place. But when he tells you, guess what I'm really going to do? And you start to see it as massive. It's out of my hands. I'm so thankful. You know, it's not up to me. You know, I will do what he tells me. But it's not up to me to turn around the church. It's up to him. He's the living God. He's the source. I benefit. And I'm excited about it. And I can't wait for it to be more present in the church, not just little fringe, you know, fringe groups, but it just to be the norm. And then if you're not aware of that you're inseparable from God, you kind of looked at it as weird, which would be a good thing. Not that we isolate or ostracize those people. We want to bring them in and go, no, let me tell you, this is the truth. That's where we want it to get to. I don't know that it'll be that. I don't know if it's going to be a half and half split. It's going to be pretty big though. That's all he's telling me. That's up to him. He'll pour it out. He's the tsunami. And the results are not up to me. I just walk in yield. each step. As long as I'm yielding to each step and I'm, you know, that I'm spirit-led, I don't have to worry about the rest of it. You know, we ought like to control it too. See, this is where if people are called to something that may look very unusual in the church, or may have never happened before. Not unusual, peculiar, creepy. I mean, unusual, solid, genuine, pure God. They're not going to be seen as mainstream initially. But see, when you have a revolution, guess what? What the turning over becomes the mainstream. What happened in America with the, you know, with the revolution? They got rid of the queen. They got rid of the monarchy. They took over a country and it became America, separate from England. It never went back. America is never going to become part of England again. It's not going to be a colony again. It's over. It's the same with this, with the Holy Ghost revolution. Once you come to that promised land of knowing you are inseparable with God, you can never return back to being an orphan, wondering if he's really listening to you. Does he love you? Did you make a mistake today? Am I sick because I did something wrong? All that stuff will not even be a reality. You're looking at it. It'll be like, that's a weird language. I wonder what language that is, but I can't read that language anymore. That's how it'll be. It's a whole new language of being with him. A whole new communication. And those of you that are doing that, are communing with him now on a regular basis, you know, that's like your life, of course. You know, you wake up thinking, Holy Spirit. You know what he told me today? This, and I found this is where this whole inseparable, he started revealing that to me this morning. And when I was, you know, thinking of a scripture or asking him a question, I think I was asking him a question as well. And he just made it, and he didn't say it in words. You know, we think Holy Spirit's going to speak to us in our thoughts just as words, and he does, but that's not the only way. You become so infused with him that your thought is his thought, and it wasn't in words, you just had a knowing. And he was telling me, you're still thinking me as separate, but he didn't say it in words. I just knew. Like his essence and my essence, you know, they're twirling around molecules. They dance together. There is no separation, and he's showing that. And that's what he wants to give to the whole church. It's not just for Jesse Campbell. It's for every believer on the planet. Some are going to want it. Some are going to hate it and think it's a lie from the devil because the devil's already put the veil on their eyes. There's so many people afraid of Holy Spirit, it's not funny. But when they get a taste of him, you know, it says, come and see and taste that the Lord is good. They're going to see his goodness. And many will come. Many will come. Many, many will come. Many won't. But you know, that's that part I can't have any control over. You know? Let's just be a part of the many that come, huh? that's our part. You know, the rest is up to him. And as we get transformed, do you know what? It will transform those around us. It will transform the face of Christianity in our circles. It will transform wherever we're sent. It will transform it. So we're a part of the revolution, but we don't cause it. He really wants to make that distinct. Okay, we're inseparable. So we're not, it's not like, you know, okay, well, God is doing it. I'll just sit back and wait or sit back and get my little instructions. No, we're inseparable. We're going to be in the tsunami, guys. We are that water. But he's the cause of it. He's the source of it. So, you know, we're one with the tsunami, with this revolution. Because we're one with him. We don't have to worry about it. You know, it's just stay in the water, basically. You know, stay in the spirit. Stay close to him. Well, we can't be unclose to him. But in terms of our thinking, that part we do have to make an effort of, stay close to him. But after a while, he just starts transforming even your thinking. And it's like, you don't even have to think. Oh, is this, am I thinking Holy Spirit or is this my thought? You don't even, that just looks like, what was that a cartoon I used to watch? That's what it starts to look like. It doesn't even look real to you anymore. Because one is one is one is one is one is one. And we're one. Inseparable. Can never be separated. Ever. So when people are told, oh, you might have sinned too badly, or you might have the unpardonable sin, oh, you might have, you know, he might have left you. The unpardonable sin is about not believing that Jesus Christ came in the flesh and rejecting him. And if you reject him, well, there's no way Holy Ghost is going to live in you. You know, that's the end of the story. But we haven't rejected him. We said, yes, he came in the flesh and he's in my flesh. And we said, yes. And when we said yes, Holy Spirit said, good, there's my temple. And he doesn't leave the temple. You can't leave a temple that you're one inseparable with. It's like he's, you know, the brickwork is the same as the entranceway, is the same as the air inside it, is the same as the altar, is the same as the incense, is the same as the gold. It's all one. You can't separate them. We can't be separated from God because he's love, and we never could be separated from his love. And his spirit lives in us. And once, you know, I mean, we can say this over and over, and we, and you know, most of the people who are on here right now, and even probably some that are listening are going, yeah, I heard that before. So what? So what? Well, not everybody's heard it before. Not everyone gets it. Sometimes you have to say it over and over and over and over and over. But the word that he really wants to hone in on is inseparable. That it's finished. The cross finished us being separated from God. We cannot be separated again. That's the revolution. Christianity, or Christians, need to get it. That what it is finished means is that we are inseparable from God.